3, 2, 1.
Fuck. Holy me, running. Shit.
Oh my god. Dylan.
What?
It's a
Dylan was like
reaction
so
time.
Far behind.
It's
that
a long
that
go ahead, Michael.
Sorry, that had to be at least somewhat of just Dylan and not so much the time difference, right?
Yeah,
it had to be a product of Dylan himself.
I think it's a long tournament. I think we're all kind of... I'm just a little tired.
I'm going to be honest. I haven't done my research on bets yet. I'm trying to figure that out while clapping. So we're trying to multitask.
The NAFTA podcast.
Sometimes it may be good, sometimes it may be shit.
NAFTA podcast is back, episode 24 on the season. This is actually the fifth episode for the World Cup. We are chatting Team USA, Netherlands. We're chatting the Sweet 16, the Round of 16, however you want to slice it and dice it. And we're going to talk about what the quarterfinals look like in the World Cup. The whole crew is here. Michael, Dylan, Nick. Dylan, Nick, and I, if anyone was watching our social media, got to see us in full beer bucket mode at a bar in Hoboken watching the game. Man, it wasn't the best sporting event to watch live because there wasn't much to cheer about until like the second half. But you love the energy early in the morning for a soccer game, especially a USA one. Correct, fellas?
Yep.
I'd say so. I know only Nick and John heard me say this comment. Not to jump ahead to the game, but when we got down by one goal, I may have gotten really excited and blurted out to the whole bar, the DVD starts now. I just want to clarify that with the atmosphere, that was the DVD start to our 2026 World Cup championship. Just want to throw that out there
for sure. The 2024 Copa America championship and the 2026 World Cup championship for sure.
DVD starts now.
Absolutely. We should actually get that on a t-shirt. It's a great line. I will say this, like, look, the Memphis Depay goal happened in the 10th minute. Can't believe we gave up a goal to Daily Blind in the 45th. Haji Wright somehow gets credit for our goal in the 76th. And then Denzel Dumfries kind of put us to bed in the 81st, 5 minutes later. The thing that sucked, watching it with a rowdy crowd, we got denied by two bars before this one because they're at capacity. Again, great signs for U.S. soccer as a whole. The thing that sucks is if you take the air out in the first 10 minutes, it just becomes tough. And I think that's what Depay did, essentially. Let's jump into the game, but first things first, I'm proud of all of us. Not a single Heineken was purchased, and I only saw two drank at this bar, and that guy's an absolute traitor, wherever he is.
Well, one of them, there was a guy walking around with his Netherlands shirt, which I think shows a lot of stones on that guy, but I just, to go back to what you said about, you gotta last more than 10 minutes, like, it doesn't happen often in life that you get to wake up in the morning and it's acceptable to go to a bar at 7 or 8 a.m. in the morning and drink beer and be all USA'd out and everybody's on board with it. That happens maybe once a lifetime.
No, it's already happened twice because TJ Oshie against Russia. Just going to throw that out there.
At 8 a.m. in the morning?
I don't know what you were doing, but I was at Grotto's drinking for that. Yes, it might have been 6 a.m.
to
be completely honest.
Oh, yeah, you were in college, but it happens very rarely. We'll put it that way. And to really deflate what was a great morning, like, so quickly, like, to not even give us hope, like, really harshed the buzz, and then had to increase the buzz a little bit at the same time. But
I will say, my ultimate fear wasn't losing. My ultimate fear was kind of what happened, where it's like, I wanted a whole half of just ecstatic belligerence, of being pumped up and whatnot, and 10 minutes... And it was just tough.
Dude, like, not to get into this part of it, but we had our moment 2 minutes in. Can you imagine how that changes the dynamic of everything? No, I'm not even talking about the game. I'm talking about, like, my hangover shifts from 5:30 p.m. to 7 a.m., you know? Because I did wake up from a nap hungover.
Yeah. Yeah. Enough about us, though, and our trials and tribulations. Let's get into the actual game. I was with Dylan and Nick, like I said. We kind of talked about things at exhaustion, so I know exactly what they're going to say, and I'm obviously going to let all of us say it. Michael, we weren't with you, and you definitely watched the game. What are your initial thoughts? And then we'll jump off of that high dive once we get to a point.
My initial thoughts, I'm going to try to go off the top of my head here and not look back at what I was saying, because I'm pretty sure I remember. I thought we played incredibly well. I thought we tactically were completely right on. I thought our midfield played great. I think our wing backs. Destin Robinson played great. Destin's played great the entire time. Robinson had like one or two hiccups, but nothing like incredibly serious. I think you can pretty much sum it up as both teams had three big chances in the game. We missed all three of ours. And like Nick was saying, that first goal goes in at 2 minutes. Pulisic puts that in, which I don't even know if he thought he was onside, but you kind of get that when you have a 6'8 goalkeeper, like you're bound to hit him at some point. And, you know, he made a good save. But my worst fear was losing 3-1 or whatever the scoreline would be and playing scared as shit of the Netherlands, who I don't personally think are a top 5-8 team in the world. And I love how we went after them. And from the very start to the end of the game, we tried, we went after them. And personally, I really don't think anything was that bad that game specifically. I think the only thing you could say is Ferreira up top didn't play at all until that point, I'm pretty sure. But I also don't think we have anybody who can just play that position like, you know, someone we need to do. Like, we need a striker. Like, absolutely, 100%, we need a striker.
Yeah. So, total shots, Netherlands had 17, 11, we had 17. You mentioned three big chances each. We had 58% we had 58% possession. They had 42. Just being with Nick and being with Dylan, I have to say that I think one of you, if not both of you, might have a little bit differing opinion on some things. Nick, I know we talked about this. If you want to get into like tactically how you felt like there needed to be adjustment, because I said our biggest problem was I don't think we were expecting to have the Netherlands let us attack them. And I think we were off guard by that. Dylan, Nick, either one of you that wants to jump in.
So I agree with that. I think if we're talking about biggest fears, since that seems to be what we're sharing right now, the biggest fear...
Quicksand.
Yeah, quicksand. Attaboy, Falco. So... my biggest fear was that we were on the front foot against England, and although I love what Michael said in terms of seeing us go after the Netherlands, my biggest fear was that we had the confidence to do that, and we were outcoached by the Dutch in terms of allowing us to have the ball, because that's exactly what they wanted, which then allowed Dest and Robinson to come up the field, which I think opened up a lot of where their goals came from and left us exposed. Not saying I didn't enjoy watching that soccer in terms of what U.S. men's national team has been for years in the past. So I don't know. I think tactically, Greg got a little bodied, in my opinion. I also think that, I'll get into the roster stuff later, but I think the other biggest thing, I guess, that I would throw out there is if we're playing, like, if this could have happened, if Pulisic puts that behind, obviously it's a completely different game for the fact that I was once get happy that me I was I wanted to score, but if we didn't, it's like, okay, we watched ourselves turtle and see what happens. But I think all of a sudden we're not being as aggressive up the field, and potentially we're hanging in the game a little bit more. And then I'll pass it to Nick, but also I'm just going to throw this out there. I'm sure he's a great guy, but I don't like Haji Wright. That's my final comment.
To build on that, dude, his foot, he just happened to be in perfect stride with where the ball was going.
The ball found him. He didn't find the ball.
Dad, you scored a goal in the World Cup. Can we watch the video?
No.
Oh, no. It got deleted off of YouTube. I mean,
I would frame that goal.
Dude, there's no way. Yeah, guys, it was no look. I knew exactly what was happening.
There's a lot of moments though for Haji Wright, at least, like between Lukaku and some other people, that like some hold my beer moments of making him look a little bit better.
Yeah, for sure. He wasn't the worst, put it that way. Nick,
I agree. I think that we I think that we were shocked that the ball, we had so much of the ball, and when we pressed, they weren't panicked. You know, I think that they really, and when they would break the press, they wouldn't necessarily go forward. So it put us into a little bit more of like a half court game, for a lack of a better phrase right now. But when so it kind of almost like it lulled us to sleep a little bit. So when they did want to go counter, when it was there and they wanted to be quick, I think they took advantage of it. I mean, I just don't think we should have finished when we should have finished. We also didn't mark very well in the back. I mean, it was just falling asleep. The Blind goal and the Dumfries goal, and we just didn't get in the right positioning there. I'll let you go, Michael. I know you want to poke holes. But, no, I just don't think that – I think that we were shocked by how much we were allowed to have the ball, and I think the Netherlands were very intelligent in selecting when they wanted to move it quick, and they could kind of do it whenever they kind of wanted. You know, I think we played fine, but the striker issue is very apparent, is very clear. And also the one question that I don't know the answer is, why is Gio Reyna playing with his back to goal when he should be playing a little more reserved role running at people? That's a very clear instruction, you know,
why did he play 35 minutes?
Well, yeah, that too. We've kicked that thing. I mean, and honestly, it really comes down to the fact, can you really trust a guy that doesn't wear training shoes, that wears freaking basketball sneakers? Like, I'm not going to get into that, but I have a very
please don't.
I'll get into it.
You guys don't like Ted Lasso. He doesn't wear trainers either.
Yeah, I think that makes his point for itself.
Anyway, so
Ted Lasso has charisma.
I completely disagree with the fact that you said we didn't expect them to drop off, because how the game progressed from the opening kick, we pressed them immediately to the point where we were trying to pin them back. If we would have gotten the ball and they would have dropped off of us, then I would see your point, and I would understand better that, like, oh, maybe we're sitting there going like, oh, we expected a press and we weren't getting it. But the plan from the very beginning was to press them and put them back. That was apparent. We pressed them the entire game. That's right, why our midfield was so active.
That's not what I was commenting on, though.
Okay, what were you commenting on then?
I was saying what you said. No, we did press, but I'm saying when they broke the press, they didn't immediately turn and look to break off of it. They would play it. They would play negative ball. They would break it to the midfield, and then they would just turn and play it square, play it back. Like, they weren't always in a rush. When teams are pressing, a lot of times you look to take advantage of some of the gaps exposed. They didn't always look to do it, and I thought that kind of threw us off a little bit, so that we got caught off guard a little bit sometimes when they decided to break. That's all I'm saying.
So they didn't counter us then. It wasn't that we expected them to lay off.
No, I was saying what they did. I'm not saying that they laid off. I'm not saying that at all.
I would like for a replay of what was said, because I'm almost positive two people have said that we didn't expect them to lay off of us, when I think it was very apparent that we purposefully tried to put them back into their half.
No, I right. We pressed. They didn't.
I think that's our point. I think we weren't expecting to.
That's what I said.
Hold on a second. I think we weren't expecting to be able to have the ball and to be able to pin them back. I thought that there would be a more offensive mindset for the Netherlands, and we were expecting to have 50-50, maybe even less than 50% possession than them. And I think what is evident of that is my biggest complaint is watching this game, they took advantage of what our biggest strength was, which is the activeness of our midfield, because when they scored those goals, the people that weren't in position were Tyler Adams and the midfield recovering. Therefore, correct. I think that they were shocked that they were up, 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 and then when it got broken, they're like, oh shit, like, now what do we do? And I think that was the issue. And because of our two wingbacks, which, by God, at this World Cup, it was the most enjoyable thing to watch these two guys play, like, nothing against them. But because we were in such offensive positions with those two guys, when they did take advantage of these gaps, we were just exposed. And that's where I think it was like, we weren't expecting this.
Put that over the last 3 minutes of conversation I made, and we're good.
Yeah,
okay. But again, I think that's an expectation of the way you're playing. Like, if you're pressing your wingbacks forward, you have to – that's the first thing. You're not sitting there going, oh, well, if they press us, we're fucked. Or if they play in the back channels, we're fucked. Like, they have ways to combat that. And I think, for the most part, apart from literally the two first goals that were basically the same exact goal and then a set piece – I think we played that incredibly well, except for those two times where it was blatantly obvious that we did not drop back.
I think I see what you're saying now, and I think I actually totally agree. For the game plan that was put in front of us, we executed it as best as possible. I think one of the issues that Nick and I and Dylan we were talking about had is, and I know that we're not the only ones because I've seen a ton of pundits say this, where is the adjustment? Where is the Berhalter adjustment? And that's the biggest thing.
I think what's so confusing about that is that leading up to the World Cup, he was so good at halftime adjustments. I think that was one of his strengths the last, you know, year or two. And he clearly left it in America, didn't bring it on the plane with him.
Yeah.
Okay, but and this will be my only other thing. I think it's apparent by how we started the game out that we're going for a goal. We're trying to get a goal, clearly, sure, okay, sure. By how we're playing. So say we score that first goal, okay? Say Pulisic scores the first goal. Do you think we make an adjustment, or do you think we continue to play how we did?
I think we would have turtled, and we would have tried to stop them scoring, because that's what we did the whole
time. Absolutely. So what I'm saying is we gave up the first goal. That doesn't change anything the way we're playing, because we're trying to get a goal anyway. So there is no adjustment to be made. I think it was working. Like, I truly do think it was. If you would have taken that first 10 minutes right before the goal, literally right before the goal, what team looked better? What team looked for like they were going to score?
For sure.
For sure us. Even the whole first half, the two goals they got were completely against the run of play.
Let's just call what it is. The second goal was a complete backbreaker. You can't be giving up a goal.
Yeah.
Absolutely. 45 minute. Yes.
It's 2-0 at half. You only make one sub?
Yeah,
but again, like, I think, and again, this might be just where we're different. I think he brought on Reyna, okay, which is, you know, literally three games too late. I completely agree with that.
Also in the wrong position.
You know, yeah, we can talk about that in a second, too, because I think we have literally one person that can play that striker role for the future, and it's Tim Weah, in my opinion. But I think he's the only one that has just that volley he took like in the first half that just out of fucking nowhere was the most like, I'm a striker. I don't care. I'm going to try to score wherever I get the ball. And I thought that was the one time where I was like, that could be the guy. If we just play him in that position. I mean, listen, I don't know what you do down 2-0. You bring Reyna on and you try to get like probably your three best players up top and work out a goal, and it came off of Haji Wright. But like, I don't know what you wanted him to do. Like, what were the changes you would have made?
Can you make a formation switch? Can you make a system switch? There's got to be some sort of, like, you're down 2-0 at half. You can't come out with the same system. Like, cause it's not. This isn't the group stage. This isn't, you know, this is a knockout round. You have to kind of throw caution somewhat to the win. And I'm not even saying at halftime. But, you know, 60th minute, as I was saying to Dylan, like I've always believed 2-0, you got to get that second goal by the 60th, or that first goal by the 65th minute before you kind of hit panic mode a little bit. Like, where are we tactically doing anything different? Because you look at his subbing, it's everything is like for like.
Hodge, you're right, for Weston McKinney's not like for like.
Aaronson for, okay, so you put a second striker there, but Aaronson's still going to play in a more reserved role. He's going to take on that McKinney role in the midfield a little bit more. So it ends up being a like for like anyway, because it's the same. Putting in who they actually sub for doesn't mean a damn thing. It's just a board number. There wasn't a tactical switch that was obvious enough. That could have been done. I don't think, in my opinion, we're going to have to understand that we just don't agree clearly. That it didn't make sense. There was no caution sent to the wind. There was no urgency for me.
I disagree. Completely.
That's fine. You're allowed to.
McKinney and Aaronson are two completely different players.
Right. But the system wasn't changed.
If you put Aaronson in, the system like quite literally has to change.
But it didn't.
Dude, we scored a goal off of it. I mean, that was exactly what we were trying to do.
You say we intended to score.
Listen, but sometimes that's what a goal is that you are just, it's quite literally willing the ball towards the net and it goes in. Like, that is what it is. You can't say, like, Weston McKennie has a job. He's a certain type of player. He's a midfielder. And then you say Aaronson is a midfielder. So that's a like for like. They're two completely different players. And then Haji Wright and Tim Weah, like both offensive players. Again, one's a winger, one is a striker. I mean, I'll give you that. Like, you could say like it's just not as good of a player, and I would agree. But I also don't think what we were doing was bad. Like, that's where I'm saying, like, if you're sitting there and you're watching that game the first half, for sure one of their goals, and again, the second one was an absolute backbreaker, I completely agree, but you walk away from that and you're like, we didn't look bad. We looked pretty good. We looked like we had control most of the time. Again, the exact same goals, people not tracking back. That's how we're down 2-0. But I don't think you sit there and go, okay, well, that clearly wasn't working, because it didn't work in two instances. Defensively, offensively, I thought we had a ton of chances. I thought we looked great.
This is my last. I will agree. I think we did have really good. We played better than we played worse. And then I'm just going to concede to the fact that we obviously disagree. Like I said this last week, national team coaching and club team coaching, we lose this game in a club team. Hey, we had some good moments here, there. We weren't clinical, whatever, whatever. But you're in the national team. You're in the business of finding a way just to win. And I don't think Berhalter did everything possible to make us win or to put us in a position to win. Players have to execute. I get it. But I didn't feel urgency. I didn't feel like he has a very simple job. Just win. I don't know. I also hate Greg. We all know this too.
Why? I mean, that's literally everyone's job is to find a way to
win. Club and national team management is completely different. It's completely different.
But it's different for everybody.
I mean, look.
If you're telling me you don't think this team could have won that game and then he doesn't.
I don't think it was Berhalter.
I want him out. Simple as that. Yeah. But
I think you're ridiculous. I think that's a ridiculous take.
Well, that's fine. We'll agree to disagree. It's fine.
Him being out or.
Yeah. I mean, if you're saying him out for this game, I think you're insane.
No, I think he's out, period.
I've been saying that ever since I've been on this podcast.
Hold on.
Yeah, you could.
I do think.
Go ahead, John.
Like, I'll be quick. Anyone of our listeners that rolling into the World Cup had Michael being the only person defending Greg Berhalter after the World Cup's over on their bingo card. Shout out to you. You get a free trip to Vegas. We're sending you anywhere. go ahead, guys. But I'm like, I am a little shocked that Michael is like in this. Like, this is his point.
I think you can pick and choose three games worth of reasons. And again, and maybe it'll come out that Gio Reyna was like, they were protecting him or something, or he was still hurt, or he, you know. Whatever, I don't know. But as it seems to me, and from things that he said in an interview when he was actually getting talked to and stuff like that, he could have played at least the second and third game. Him not playing at all is insane. Him starting Ferreira, I think, in this game is kind of insane. I think you can make an argument that says he maybe is out of his depth. He doesn't know what the hell he's doing. I don't think tactically, like if you look at this game, tactically, he at least, at the very least, fucked up to the point where you can blame this loss on him. I don't think it's his fault at all.
So, I will defend him on the fact that I think Ferreira was put into the game because I think Sargent was a bigger injury than we probably realized. And
yes,
what I'm going to say is defending him, but then goes into why I think we need a new coach. And I also tell you that I think that it was a success because we should probably jump into if we thought it was a good World Cup or not for the U.S. But Ferreira's playing because it's Greg's style to make sure he has a striker that can be a holding striker. And that is the closest from Ferreira compared to what we've seen from Hodgson right so far, which is why I think Ferreira got put in the game to start with the initial game plan of hoping that everything would work out. Now, why I think we need a new coach is, one, normally I think a cycle should only be the 4 years anyway, unless you win the World Cup, and then we can talk about that regardless in this situation. Two, I said this, Michael's, this is going to be the first time you're hearing it, but I'm going to equate it to the Yankees dynasty, where Greg Berhalter did his job to get us into the World Cup and out of the group stage. I think he got us to where he can, but I think he got us to the ceiling of where he can take us because he also very much plays to his system. And who knows what could happen 4 years from now, but we don't have a striker that fits to his system, that we need someone to what we've been arguing that needs to change the system to be able to play to the player's strengths that we have to be able to compete on home soil. And in this case, he is Buck Showalter. We need Joe Torre, and that's what we need to go find. I'm sure you're going to ask me who that is, but I'm just telling you right now, yes, that's ultimately what we need to go figure out is go find Joe Torre to get us to that point. I have someone, you're going to laugh at it. I'm only saying it because he's American. I don't know if it's going to be someone outside, but we can jump into that. It's not Jesse
I don't think they're, like, if you want that and that step up, I don't think that an American coach, like, with a CV exists.
I don't disagree with you on that, but if it's going to be American, I have someone who I don't think they're going to get it, but who's more realistic than Jesse Marsh, in my opinion. But ultimately, that's why I think, though, Berhalter needs to be out. Not because I think he failed in terms of what we asked him to do. I just think that we hit a ceiling and we need someone else to actually get us to where we need to be in 2026.
Dylan's got Bruce Arena coming back. All right.
Bradley again.
Third time. Great discussion. Like, I actually like the differing opinions on this. And I do know that with Michael, one of your comments, Weah playing striker, I don't disagree with that. I do want to see Jordan Pefok play at some point. Maybe Copa America that's coming up that Nick told us we were confirmed in, which I said, woof, Nick, you're absolutely right. Like, this team being this young, this is exactly what they need. No matter who the coach is, no matter what is going on, this is exactly what this team needs.
Yep. And no qualifiers.
Would we be invited to that because we're the host nation, like similar to why Qatar was in it and all that type of stuff?
We've been invited before. They invited Mexico. Like, they just kind of bring in one or two countries just to, like, because the numbers don't work necessarily with the tournament.
It's kind of like the soccer version of the Junior Goodwill Games.
Jesus.
Anyway,
they need to do it. They need, because they, I will agree, it was a successful tournament. I think we did a nice job getting back, getting soccer excited. Like, everything I said, it was a good run. We need to find, there needs to be Copa America. There needs to be going over to Europe and playing Germany and playing France and just try to, all right, you're right. Maybe
Germany's not
Dylan.
Competition.
You're right. They can't even make it past the group stage, but we need to find a way to, step it up a little bit. There needs to be a challenge, you know? Yeah. So,
okay. That's a good start, Nick. So you got a success for the World Cup for the U.S. Dylan, where are you at with how this ended up?
I think it's a success. I think we got out. I know I've been on here a lot saying we're going to win the World Cup this year and next year. Ultimately, I really think that this was, when you have a young team, this was the World Cup to get them experience and see what it's really like. And I don't think there's anything detrimental to make them have a sour taste in their mouth as we lead in 2026. So I'd say it's a win.
Michael?
For two reasons. One, I think if you were on the fence about six or seven players going into this World Cup, you are no longer on the fence about those players. I don't think you're on the fence about either of our wingbacks, our entire midfield. Pulisic, for me, I think he played great. Had a great World Cup. Tim Weah, I think, unbelievable. Turner, I thought played really, really well. And then the impact that this had on, I mean, like, people that I personally know that, like, hate soccer and, like, would never even, like, look at it other than just to, like, gamble it randomly, degenerately throughout the week are, like, I cannot fucking wait for 2026. Like, this is, like, so fun. This is so awesome. And just, like, that energy, I think, these guys are all on social media. These guys are all, like, younger guys. I think that's a huge motivation.
Just imagine how good they can be in 4 years. Like, look how good they were now, like, compared relatively, and another 4 years of actually developing in Europe.
So, yeah, and that's...
Think about the group after this, too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So, I totally agree too. I think it's a good World Cup. One of my, like, very baseline points is right now we're a top 16 team in the world, and that's where we should be right now. I think top 8 is a really good, if we would have won and we're in the quarters, that's an amazing tournament for the second youngest team in the World Cup. Like, that's insane. I think in a Deion Sanders move right now, I really hope some strikers jumping into that transfer portal somewhere that we can just pick up, because I think that's what we're missing. And I said this to Dylan and Nick while we were walking in, and I know this is a John Madden duh comment. Man, this team is a whole nother beast if you have just a fuck you striker. Just a guy who, when he gets the ball, he doesn't think anyone is as good as he is. He will shoot, he will score, he will be aggressive.
I know this is 21 years down the road, maybe 22, but, like, I'm really excited for Messi to have a child while at Miami so we can get that dual citizenship and see if we can get him to come to the other team. Just thinking real ahead.
Yeah. I do think that, like...
That'd be so sick.
You know, imagine if Ronaldo came to MLS, too, and they both had children in the U.S. Yeah. And then, like, well, 20, 25 years of playing together.
I only want one of them, though.
Only one's clutch.
Yeah,
why is America such a country that we are so gung-ho with exceptionalism and capitalism that we can buy, but yet we clutch our pearls when we're looking for dual citizenship for soccer players? Like, let's get on the Qatar model real quick. Anyway.
Also, like, it's not like Messi's son wouldn't be like, oh, I want to play for Argentina like my dad did. No. Like, arguably the greatest player ever.
True.
Like, probably wouldn't want to do that.
I don't know. If he doesn't win, legacy might be tainted, you know.
Are there NIL deals that we can do?
Yeah, we need to figure that out, too. All right, last point is,
all the taxes go up for that.
As we just said, the revolving door at striker needs to happen in the next 2 years, next 3 years. Like, we just need to try people out and figure that out. And I don't know if any of the dudes here are going to be the answer. They very well could be. I also don't think I'm not... Like, I don't think I'm done with Ricardo Pepe. I think I want to see him play, too. Like, I'm open to all that. Last question on U.S., and then we'll jump into these other games. Dylan, you alluded to it. The biggest key for this group of players and the group after them for the next 4 years, in my opinion, is get out of MLS as soon as possible. I know that you don't necessarily share that view because you're an MLS guy, but I personally think that's the biggest thing. Guys, I'll start with you, Dylan. What is going to be the biggest game changer for us in 4 years then? Outside of it being at home.
Well, I mean, that's a pretty big game changer, just throwing that one out
there. True.
It needs to be depth. So, I might jump into... mostly because I'm going to say this at this point because I know it's not a conversation, but I wanted to see Michael's face when I say it. But depth is why teams move on and why the cream rises to the top in this tournament. And I think that ultimately is what we need to keep building with the young guys in the pipeline. And this kind of goes into, I think, the next coach if we get rid of Greg, because I think Greg did also a great job of recruiting. But he needs to figure out how to develop guys, which clearly for the past 2 years we've seen he can't do with a striker. So we need someone who can develop. someone, if you're going to stay in-house and do something like that, his name is Jim Curtin, and go look him up. He,
Doop-doop.
Yeah, doop-doop, baby. He,
of course. No bias in this pick at all.
No. In all seriousness, take the union side out of it. Look at what he's actually done. In terms of career-wise, it's probably the same as Greg Berhalter from an MLS standpoint, which is why it wouldn't shock me if that's where the Federation goes, if they end up going a different way there. But where did Aaronson come from? If you look at his brother right now, who's going to Germany as well, he's great at developing these young guys when they're 16 and bring them up, which is something we need. And he's clearly shown he doesn't have the best of talent at Philly, yet can get the right formations and tactically move his team forward. The only down is he also hates the sub, so that's going to drive me nuts, because it already does. But ultimately, to answer your question, that's already been too long-winded. We need depth, and we need the right coach.
Depth, super key, especially with, I think soccer is just going to stay with 5 subs from now on out, right? That was a COVID thing. I think that's staying. Michael?
Yeah.
You got any differing opinion on most important thing for the next 4 years?
I think if you really want to take the next step forward, again, I don't think the answer is Jesse Marsh.
I just told you that.
He's the most CV'd coach in American coach, I have to imagine, right? I don't think there's any other than like Berhalter, probably. I think you have to get somebody not American, and I think that's probably not going to play well.
Bradley's
open to international management.
Bradley Swansea has something to say about this, Michael. I'll say real quick, you guys can jump in too on this one, but my wife actually brought this up, and I mentioned it to Nick and Dylan. She was baffled that the coach also did not have to be from the nation that they are coaching. And at first I was like, that's ridiculous. Like, no way. I do kind of think that we need in the next 4 years to maybe stick with an American, whether that be Berhalter, whether that be Marsh. I think you need an identity here. I think that's super key. And I think that happens when you have a coach that's from the United States. And it's not going to be easy. I doubt we'll be able to do it. Michael, I think you bring up a really good point. There are no coaches out there that have the pedigree right now. But I think that's like, maybe it is Jesse Marsh, because he has a play style that is unique. I don't know.
There's no way he's leaving right now. That's the problem.
I'm fucking leaving. Yeah, for sure.
What happened last time he went outside the U.S. when we tried to qualify for a World Cup?
Qualified.
You mean as a coach?
Yeah.
Jurgi? Yeah, I do get an extra sense of pride. Maybe it's the nationalism that I push down as far as possible being a lefty, about having a U.S. coach as a coach. I actually love it.
It's so funny that, like, if we go international coach, it's automatically Jurgen Klinsmann. Like, you can go get fucking, like, again, you go get, like, Ancelotti. He's not Jurgen Klinsmann.
Oh God!
I'm not saying you could also.
Could you imagine?
I'm not saying you could get him either. Like, I doubt. I think you could probably go up to Carlo Ancelotti. He'd be like, "What the fuck are you talking about? Like, I'm not doing that. Are you insane?"
Dude, we got that FIFA like, money coming in 4 years. You don't think we can go get the true. Like? Go be like Colorado. We might not have the money to pay him yet, but go get the coach. Money will come.
If you want my honest opinion, I personally think you just stick with Berhalter.
Okay.
I think he's earned. The right to go to the Copa America or something like that. I think he's earned that right. I think what I think is important next is competition. So going to the Copa America, getting more high level, intense experiences that are like the World Cup, because you're not going to get that in CONCACAF. So I think Greg's earned the right to go to that tournament, considering he was successful, you know, and then that's the benchmark. Like, all right, let's see how we do here. Is there progress? Is there growth? And then, okay, hey, you're happy with it? Okay, you get the World Cup, or if not, we're going somewhere else, and they get 2 years to work everything out.
That's stupid.
Okay, Dylan, do you have one more thing to say?
Yeah, that's stupid. Get rid of him.
You're stupid. You're stupid.
I'm going to take John's rule here. We're on 40 minutes. We should probably move on to the other 7 games.
Yeah, true. I'm going to have the last word since it's
okay.
Editing power. Nick, I'm kind of with you. I think we should be taking advantage of our regionality way more. I think we need to be in South America a lot. Because I think if you look at how teams play, we already tried this Klinsmann, German, very strict, very whatever. Dude, I know this is the 18th most popular sport in the United States. We still have athletes. I'd rather us start learning some stuff from Argentina, from Brazil, from South American coaches, players, whatever, than going back to this European bullshit. So that's how I feel.
What nationality's Poch?
Argentinian.
I
know. Sorry, I just want to hear you guys say it.
Team USA crashes out 16th. All of us in agreement, it was a success. Speaking of Argentina, let's jump into these other games. Argentina 2, Australia 1. Messi in the 35th. Julian Alvarez in the 57th. And then Enzo Fernandez, own goal, got one back for Australia.
3-0?
Yeah, technically. Technically 3-0. 2-1, Argentina over Australia. I think we all saw this. This isn't a shocker for us. Shout out to another country that calls it soccer getting to the round of 16. But with Argentina moving on, I just wanted to ask all of us a question, and then we can move to the next game. We all picked Argentina. Are you doubling down on our bet, or are you going to hedge, essentially, you think?
Double.
Dylan's doubling. Michael?
I mean, that's just my style.
I don't know, man. They got to play Brazil, right?
Everyone does if they want to win.
Okay. I don't know then.
Nick?
Feels really good.
Yeah. I want Argentina to do it, but Brazil, to quote Dylan, is a wagon.
Yeah.
Like, I think they're a wagon carrying a wagon. Like, I ain't getting in front of those dudes.
No. Maybe the only other team. Okay, Dylan.
I was going to say, you ever play the Oregon Trail? Wagons are meant to break down, bro.
Yeah, you got to figure out.
All the fucking time. Constantly, dude. It was so annoying.
You got to figure out if you're forging that river or not. Another team that I think you can maybe argue is peaking at the right time, France, 3-1 over Poland. Giroud, he tied it, right? He tied Thierry's with this goal in the 44th. He beat it.
He's the best.
He's number one now. All right, Giroud in the 44th gets the French record. Kylian Mbappe with one in the 74th and one in the 90th. Give them a 3-0 lead. And then Lewandowski got one in the 90th plus 35 minutes. I don't fucking how much minutes they're playing here. On
second,
a penalty.
Second PK try.
Yeah. Yes. Very, very true. That's another thing we'll talk about in a minute. Penalty kicks in this tournament have been god-awful. 3-1 over Poland. I do think, if I'm doing a power ranking in my head, if Brazil's one, I think France right now is number two, somewhat in my head. Anything you guys want to add on this one? Again, I think we all had France.
I think that the next game for France, when they play England, who I think is the second best team, because I think France has not played anybody yet, really. They lost to Tunisia with a rotated back. Denmark was terrible this tournament. We obviously saw that. And then they kicked shit out of Australia. Poland, you know, to quote Nick, is a one-man team, and he doesn't even show up for his country. So, you know, pretty much a just easy mode there, too. I think they're going to really see Benzema gone and those other injuries that they've had. I don't even know if Nkunku was like going to start, but it's going to be Mbappe. It's going to be Giroud, obviously, who, again, I love Giroud. I think he's not even close to as good as Karim Benzema. So we'll see. I don't want to spoil anything, but I think England's better than them.
Very interesting. One thing I will point out is one of the heroes for France last World Cup, Pavard, hasn't played a minute. I find that kind of shocking.
It's France, dude.
Yeah, true.
I don't care.
This is the other thing, and Dylan and Nick, I'll let you jump in. Have any of you done any research into, like, Paris creating soccer talent? Because if it was a city World Cup,
oh my God,
they'd win by a billion. Every Northern African country that was once a French territory, they're mostly from Paris. Riyad Mahrez is from there, you know, Algeria, Tunisia, all those places, Morocco.
Dude, Aubameyang?
Yep. All of them.
My man plays for Gabon.
He's from, he was, grew up in France, born in Paris area.
Yeah. No, I know. And I'm saying he chose to play
for Poland. Right. Yeah, sorry. Check. Yeah. Move on. I'll move on.
Michael, your number two team, in your opinion, England 3-0 over Senegal. Hendo in the 38th, Harry Kane in the 45th, and then Bukayo Saka in the 57th. Bellingham on the first assist, Foden on the next two. 3-0 to a Senegal team that we've mentioned before. Outside of, like, obviously Mane not getting to play, they still have some tough players on that team.
For sure.
Let me hear your opinion on England, and then we gotta pass it to one of these Tucker brothers here.
Sorry, yeah, I'll make it quick. Jordan Henderson thought that coming into this, he wasn't really going to get to play. Him and Trent were really on a recruiting mission for Jude Bellingham, and then he kind of slotted in, kind of showed himself out a little bit. I love, John, you brought up the Jude Bellingham assist just so you could say Phil Foden had the other two. It's very, very big of you. I think this was their best game. Like, you know, Southgate, I know people criticize it, and I criticize it too, because I like the free-flowing soccer playing and, you know, attacking and stuff. But they're not going to make mistakes. They got enough talent up top. They got enough guys. They got a deep bench too. They have a bunch of different ways they can beat you. I think it's going to be them and Brazil or Argentina for me. But I think they're one of the top two or three teams.
Nick, Dylan?
I think France has looked insane, but I think the big difference between France and England is England is a well-oiled, well-rounded machine. And France is a two-trick pony.
Trick's pretty cool, though.
It is really cool. Like, it is really, really cool.
It's a good trick. Don't get me wrong.
But, like, missing a Conte or something like that in the middle. We're sitting here splitting hairs over who are easily two of the best teams in the tournament. I think England's just well-balanced and has so many different kinds of threats. You know, not we talk about depth. You know, you have Foden and Saka, and then you throw Rashford on there, and Grealish brings a different, completely different game. So whatever you need, you have different elements. France, damn good, but you can kind of game plan for them because they're going to more or less be very similar in what they're going to end up doing. But Mbappe's have his freaking mind, dude. Like, the dude is just saying, this is my world, you're living in it.
He could take over a game completely.
Oh, yeah.
I know it's...
But, like, go ahead, Dylan, sorry.
I know it's not going to happen, but in my mind, I've been on reels a little bit recently, and I keep getting dragged back into Harry Maguire talk or reels or whatever, what which is wrong with a lot of fun. And, like, I'm just really excited for Mbappe to be running full speed, though, and Maguire's just stuck in the saucer, and it's Harry Maguire, and then he just hits a worldie. So that's what I'm looking forward to in this matchup.
Dude, I saw an article that Harry Maguire faces similar situation at end of World Cup. Oh, I can play. I clicked on the article. The first paragraph is like, following another excellent spell with England, how is he going to return to club soccer where he's clearly terrible at it?
Well, so oh, here, I hate to be the voice of reason or maybe like a little bit of a Debbie Downer this pod, but like, again, it's Berhalter like does not put or sorry Berhalter Jesus there you go Southgate does not put Harry Maguire in positions to fail, like, at all. Like, he completely mitigates risk. Like, that's the entire game plan. That's why he's so good, because when you just say, hey, get rid of the fucking ball any way you can, he's like, oh, okay, I can do that. Like, you don't ask him to do too much. He just does shit. He's vibing out there, like, yeah. Really.
Not to have my second Deion Sanders comment of the podcast, but I do envision Gareth Southgate going to a podium and basically looking at everyone and being like, see Harry Maguire right there? That's your center back.
Is it the John Stones effect? Is that what it is?
Yeah. He just loves the
I think it's the same thing. I do think, because, like, Stones, I know Pep probably asked Stones to do, like, so much. Like, your guys' center backs have to do so much on the ball and, you know, stuff like that. And when you just tell him, clear the ball. Like, just get rid of it.
With England, they're central defenders. With Man City and Man United, they're ball-playing defenders. And it's just totally different. If I told you guys, and then we'll move on to the next one. If I told you guys between James Madison, Connor Gallagher, Trent Alexander-Arnold. I'll give this one to Dylan and Connor Cody. Those four guys combined for 33 minutes this entire World Cup. I think that'd be kind of crazy. I mean, we
embarrassment.
Riches. I really think the United States would take any of those guys right now. For sure.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah, Cody's the GOAT.
Exactly.
Connor Goaty.
His other buddy is having fun today.
Nice.
One matchup that England does not have to worry about if they move on is Croatia. They're on the other side of the bracket. They played Japan. It ended 1-1 in regulation time, and Croatia won 3-1 on pens. Dazen Maeda in the 43rd minute opened the scoring. Perisic got one back for Croatia in the 55th. And then Japan misses the first two pens. Croatia makes the first two. Japan makes the third. Croatia misses the third. And then Croatia hit the fourth, and Japan did not. These, by all accounts, on the Japanese side, was the beginning of us saying how bad have these penalties been during the entirety terrible. Of the World Cup. But I will say this. If there is a team that shocked the world and then had the best World Cup possible in a group with Spain and Germany, it has to be Japan.
Tell me. Oh, yeah. Winning the group?
Winning the group. Absolutely.
Yeah. I'm going to say what I want to say real quick, but John, I want you to go on FotMob and I want you to look at who the man of the match of this game was. The pens for Japan were terrible. you just saw it.
Yeah.
Who is it, John?
Dejan Lovren.
Thank you very much. Got the assist. the pens were terrible. I think that's like honestly the bigger story is just like how god awful they were. I think Croatia is just solid. Like, they're a solid team. I think Japan is too. I think they do a lot with, like, not a lot of possession, clearly, like beating Spain, beating Germany, losing to Costa Rica. Makes no sense. I think it's awesome that Croatia moved on. It would have been better if Japan did, but I think, like, Japan's fairy dust kind of ran out. Like, they used it all those first games, and they had a great run, and it was awesome, but... You know, can't last forever.
Yeah, Nick, you haven't spoken much. Any opinions on the Japanese?
I'm sad.
Yeah,
I'm upset.
Is Aaron Judge gone?
I mean, yeah, I knew that was coming, but you know,
I don't know if that's why
you're going to pay him 9 years, $360 million. But now he's going to get a picture of Jeff Parsons standing on a 1 foot tall box to be able to reach his height.
Breaking news.
I'm upset. Japan is so much fun to watch.
Yeah,
I love it, you know, and you said the possession, all those things, but they just go 100%, 100% of the time, and it's not about one single player for them ever. And I thought they were really going to be the team that made the run. I thought that I just can't get out the fact that you take out Modric and Kovacic in extra time. I get it; they're older, whatever.
And Perisic.
I still can't. What? Yeah, and Perisic, yeah. And Perisic. I can't believe you're taking those guys out. That's a shock to me, but it'll make Michael happy. FotMob player of the match, Dejan Lovren.
Did you not hear the beginning of this?
He wasn't listening.
No, I didn't.
All.
I was looking at sorry. God. I told you I got something real quick about Aaron Judge. I had to check real quick. I apologize.
Oh, good.
But, yeah.
The biggest losers of this World Cup are the custodial crew, because Japan is out. Always leave it just immaculate. the best human beings in the world. Absolutely. Shout out to my friend Isaiah. I know he was rooting for him the entire way. Got to see him beat Germany together. All right. The wagon. Let's just call him that. The wagon 4, South Korea 1. Vinicius Jr. in the 7th. Neymar on a pen in the 13th. Richarlison in the 29th. Lucas Paqueta in the 36th. And then they just didn't even need to show up for the second half. I actually think they made a rare goalie substitution in the 80th minute in this game, just to give Allison, you know, a little break. Sung Ho Park in the 76th got one back for South Korea. They're FIFA number one. This is maybe one of the ratings that actually makes sense. Dylan, you mentioned that they're a wagon. Any thoughts on this, or can we just move on?
It was going to be my joke for the end, but I think I have a different one, is like that first half was just essentially Brazil practicing their dancing. Like,
yeah,
it was.
The first half was that Nike 90s commercial where they're in the airport. I don't know if any of you guys have seen this, but it's essentially like that Brazil team that I think either won it in 2002. Did they win it in 2002? Yeah, that's the last time. Yeah, 2002. They're just running through an airport, juggling around people, flicking the ball over like stewardess heads, and like,
dude, that Richarlison goal was absolutely just so Brazilian. It was insane. Like, and then the fact that the manager got in on the pigeon, like Roy Keane, like dude, Roy Keane, like grow up, buddy. Like, get with the times. Like, yeah. It's the World Cup. Let the kids play a little bit.
Roy Keane hates a bat flip. Shout to Hank. He actually sent me the video of Richarlison pigeon dancing with R9 in an interview. Hot take, real quick. The more that Richarlison shows out, are we expecting the seat of Antonio Conte to get a little bit hotter? Why can't he find this form there? Is it the manager's fault?
He's a Brazilian Harry Maguire. He plays a lot better.
Dude, do you remember when we said he wasn't good enough to go? The only person that thinks Richarlison is good enough to go to Madrid is Richarlison. Well, I guess he made us look stupid.
Yeah. Well, I'll also say, like, it's like Paqueta has not done anything at West Ham as of yet, at least. Like, these dudes all seem to show out when they play for Brazil.
Yeah.
Like, it's just kind of thing they do.
They're the opposite of France. I know France has looked good, but like they actually like each other and have but they like each other and have fun playing with each other, which clearly shows, as opposed to that's what scares me into the French English game, is that they could all of a sudden just decide that they're Belgium and hate each other this year going into the game and be done.
For sure.
Only thing I want to say about this, Alisson is I'm gonna put it out there. You can make the argument the best goalie in the world. Like, the amount of saves he's made this season especially and in that game were outrageous.
I don't think anyone's going to argue with you. I do think that it'd be nice if another guy got a shot, but...
they didn't even give him the sub, man. They put Weverton in.
Big Webby.
Big Webby.
All right, it's time for Michael and I think everyone, but Michael and I to acknowledge that Ramiro, our friend, called us out on something. You guys corrected, Michael included, and took Morocco in the round of 16. Everyone did. I didn't. I'm the only one that didn't. I took Spain 0-0.
Okay, I took Switzerland.
Yeah. 0-0 after total time. And then the rare penalty shootout shutout by Morocco, 3-0 over the Spanish. I texted this to the group chat. I know it's 0-0, and normally during the Premier League, we go 0-0, let's move on. It was a pretty exciting game. Both these teams played really well. Spain held possession, held possession, held possession, and then couldn't score. It felt like I was watching a Man City game at times. And Morocco was just fearless, absolutely fearless, and that's how they've played the entire World Cup. Michael, since we've gotten called out on text by Ramiro, I'll pass it over to you to see if you want to say anything.
I told him to listen to the last podcast. He said he did. So he clearly knew I picked Morocco for this game. So I feel like that the text should have been completely directed at you, the only person that didn't take Morocco. Kind of like we were saying before, if Spain has all this possession, that's great. If you can't score, doesn't really matter. The game is not who has the most possession, obviously. Morocco was, both teams were obviously very close, but I know I just said a second ago, Alisson, best goalkeeper in the world. No, it's actually the Moroccan goalkeeper from Sevilla, John. Your team, Yassine, is it Bounou?
Yeah, it's Bounou.
Bounou?
Bounou.
Okay. I don't know.
Yeah.
Just absolutely mind-fucking every guy that went up there. It was unbelievable. He just, like, dance around, and at the last second, you think, like, you psych yourself out doing that, but he was just right on every single time. He was laughing. After the third one, he was just like, oh my god, I can't believe I'm saving these balls. Like, it was insane. But no. And then ice-cold Hakimi, Panenka to win it, and then just does the Jalen Waddle straight up the Waddle. It was unbelievable.
You ain't got no marbles.
No, he has fucking marbles.
The thing I found so interesting about this Spanish team was, as I was watching this game and diving into the roster, you're either above 30 or under 21 to play on this team. It's insane. I had no clue that Busquets was still out there. It made no sense.
How old is Danny Olmo? I feel like he's old.
He's 27. He's the rarity in like the middle. Okay. I think.
Dude, you talk about lack of possession. Like, good 20. Lord, man. This looks like Man City versus
dude, they had over like, 1,000 passes.
Yeah, this is like City versus some fourth tier team in the FA Cup or something like that. Like, the only thing, the PK by Hakimi, like, screw it, why not? You know that you got another chance. Like, if you just make one the rest of the way, you're out. Like, awesome. But, like, I was the only thing, because I was teaching, I could only watch a little bit during study hall, and then we're doing, like, an activity, and the kids are, like, breaking up the here and there. And I had it on in the background, but I wasn't, like, watching. And I saw them with the PKs, and we're doing, I told you, all right, you got 5 minutes to do this part before we review something. And they're going through the PKs. And I look up, like, all right, you got 2 minutes left. And I realize the PKs are taking longer. And I go, all right, one more minute. You know, and it's been like three.
Yeah.
And then we continue the discussion. I go, hey, I look over at this girl. I go, hey, what do you think about this? And she goes, oh, I go, what are you talking about? She goes, I go, quit watching the World Cup, as I'm sitting at the front with the World Cup on my computer.
I told you, man.
Dylan, not only 1,000 passes, they actually had 926 accurate passes. So it's like,
holy.
Yeah. Comment of the day was Clint Dempsey, I think right after the game ended. He goes, all this passing around doesn't mean nothing if you can't pass it in the goal. Or some shit like
no,
that.
No, no, no.
I don't know if that was...
God, that sounds like a Texas boy.
I was going to bring this up, John. It was... They're talking about, like, obviously being better at penalty kicks. And some... I forget whoever it was. Probably Alexi Lalas was like, well, if you're so good at passing, you should be able to pass in the net. And he's like, nah, I can't do that shit. They got to hit it harder, and they clearly can't do that either.
Those penalties were awful. They were soft. They were terrible. That might have been actually the comment that I was looking for, and I just added a little panache to it. All right, last game of the 16. Portugal 6, Switzerland 1. Man, I didn't see this one coming. I picked Portugal. Michael, I know you picked Switzerland. Tucker's both picked Portugal. I didn't think it was going to be like this. I thought they were better. But Ramos, the first of his three in the 17th. Old man Pepe, speaking of old, in the 33rd, 2-0 at half. Ramos again in the 51st. First, Guerrero in the 55th. Ramos again in the 67th. In between there, Akanji got one back in the 58th. And then Rafael Leao got the last one in stoppage time. No Ronaldo to start. He came in later in the second half. I think the only question that we can pose here is a typical pundit question. Is this team better without him?
Yes.
Nick?
Do I need to really answer that question?
I was giving you a chance to dunk, buddy.
No, of course it is. Of course they are. But, I mean, it's Ronaldo in the World Cup, man. Like, it also is four games in the span of less than 2 weeks. Like, the dude's old, man, and maybe the game didn't. Maybe they thought they can handle him without it. So maybe there's some compromise there. But
I think
he has
tough.
The body of a 25-year-old.
I think it's tough in a winner go home scenario to convince Ronaldo that he's not needed. Put it that way. Himself. So
also, when he just only cares about his own records, and the most international games ever played is 196, and today was 195.
Oh,
Did you see?
I played in it.
Did you see at the?
No, he played, so it counts.
Did you see at the end of the game too? They had a corner with like literally 30 seconds left, and they were just gonna kick it, like just tap it back into play, and he started screaming, saying like moving his hand, like send it into the box just to try and get a goal.
Of course he did. He'd probably rip his shirt off and throw in the stands too, score and make it 7-1.
It's so incredibly unlikable.
Yeah.
Yeah, but dude, look at his abs. You could freaking you could fall in love with those things.
Anyway, the only thing I was gonna say is I know I picked Switzerland and I'm not ashamed of it, but how things turned out, Ronaldo not starting, if the Swiss would have won, the narrative would have been that he needed to start and therefore he is like incredible. And anytime I get to like go on Twitter and shit on Piers Morgan as much as possible, like I will take it over winning one of these games.
Do you guys realize that like I really want Morocco to keep moving on, but if Portugal is gonna not start Ronaldo, I'm kind of sneaky rooting for them to win it all in spite of him, with him coming off the bench and not coming in. Like that would be electric.
Messi would never sit on the bench and win a World Cup.
Yeah, true.
No,
because that is team still, I think that
still needs him.
I think that's an that's an amazing storyline. I think that would be incredible. I got two things here. First things first, got to shout out a Man City guy, Akanji, with the goal. Despite scoring, he still had a 6.0 FOTMOB rating. Not good. Not good, Bob. Yeah. And then we talked about it a little bit in the group chat. A hot commodity coming out of this World Cup is going to be João Félix. 2 assists in this game.
Called it.
Did you see the Atleti report?
Mm-mm.
That like I don't know what the highest person, the CEO or chairman or whatever, said that like he's their biggest bet, but it's time to let it go. We've fallen out of favor with him. Him and the coach do not get along. Like we're basically gonna try to shop him.
Damn.
The only question is how much of that $120 million are they gonna try to recoup?
They're gonna try to recoup a lot of it. For sure.
Yeah. I knew we'd get back at Ramiro at some point. Here we go, Michael. Perfect. All right.
Pathetico Madrid. Back at it again.
all right. That's your round of 16. Diving into predictions for the quarterfinals. Our first game of the quarters is Croatia and Brazil.
Oh, this is easy.
This is the wagon versus they are the cockroaches. They will not die. A skillful cockroach. I got Brazil. Nick, you're not even looking at your computer. I assume you have an answer here too.
Oh, it's Brazil. Not even a question. You can chalk them into the semifinals. Permanent tattoo it.
I think it's Brazil, but it's going to be closer to what we saw in group stage, where they're going to win like 1-0, 2-0.
Michael.
Yeah.
Brazil, for sure.
All right. I think that took longer than I think it even needed to. I think this will be a good game. Netherlands and Argentina. It's your second game in the quarters. Nick, who you got moving on in this one?
Messi, 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 Messi. I think that'll be an extra time nail biter.
Perfect. I think it'll be a really good game. I agree, though.
Yeah.
Michael?
Argentina.
Argentina. Dylan?
I've been to Argentina. We have futures in play.
Yeah.
I think I'm right there with you. I think it'll be maybe 2-0, and it'll be a good game, though. The darlings of the quarterfinals, Morocco hosting another Iberian Peninsula team. Portugal, another Strait of Gibraltar derby here. Dylan, are you going with the Atlas Lions on this one?
I really want to, but the reason why I'm not, again, is because of futures. Before the tournament started, I put some shekels on the narrative of Ronaldo Messi, and it's plus 4,000, and they're on opposite sides of the bracket, so I need to just put all my positive vibe to Portugal moving forward.
Wait, you put them in to reach the final against each
other? There was a bet, Argentina-Portugal, just to face each other in the finals, and it was plus 4,000, so like, I wasn't gonna not do that with the narrative swirling before everything.
Love it. Michael?
Two things. I know I'm currently leading in these predictions. I could easily see it out the rest of the way and just pick the same as you. I'm not gonna do that. I'm gonna stick with what I actually think is gonna happen. And I'm gonna pick Morocco to win this game, because if I'm wrong, I can blame Ramiro.
Ramiro, you mentally bullied my brother. Congratulations.
Can I have it on the record? I'm rooting for Morocco.
I'm so bullied.
You're rooting for Morocco?
I'm picking Portugal, but rooting for Morocco.
Gotcha.
Like a true better.
Yeah. Nick?
I've done this
before. Yeah, I'm going to have to echo Dylan because I really, really want to see Morocco go through, but I think Portugal is just too offensively potent right now.
Yeah.
Well, hold on. By the way, if lineups come out and Ronaldo's starting, I change my pick to Morocco.
Yeah.
Good caveat. Before we get into the classic match of England versus France, Michael, good point. The standings are as followed. Michael is 32 and 24. I'm 30 and 26. Nick, 28 and 28. Dylan, 27 and 29. Got to get you to 500 here. We all went 6 and 2 in the round of 16, so a great showing. Now, a medieval matchup, so to speak. England versus France. I listened to all of you talk about England, and there is a little part of me that is growing that I'm like, damn, am I doing the wrong thing here? I got France, and I think I'm going to stick with it.
Dylan. I've got France too. More, I know this is, again, my picks because I know I can't catch Michael at this point. My picks are strictly from the heart. I knew too many British people, and I'd like to talk shit to them, so I don't know a lot of French.
Nick?
I'm going to stand by the fact that I think it's either it's Mbappe versus 11 guys, and I'm going to take the 11, well knowing that that's going to come back and bite me in the ass, and Mbappe's going to probably score a hat trick and win, but I'm taking England.
And Michael, I know you got England, but give us some reasoning.
Overall, better team. I think better coached. More ways to beat you.
Yeah.
If they go down, there's a way to beat you. If they get ahead, there's a way to beat you.
England makes it to the finals. Does that actually elevate how you view the American showing?
No, because I think they're like, it's like one-off games. Like, it's not like they're playing the same
soccer
way every single time. Yeah. Yeah, I think it's great that we like played with them, like a team of that caliber, but I don't think they're playing at their best, like, against us. So.
Gotcha. All right, those are picks. Dylan, give us some bets to go into these quarterfinals.
So, because I wasn't on last time, I'd like to give you guys a quick update on where we stand on my full tournament bets. Gonna be honest, the corners, we're in a tough spot. There's been 500. There's been 501 corners taken this entire tournament. So we need 104 through 8 games to get to the lucky number of 605, which means we need 13 corners a game. To be honest, we're seeing like 7 or 8 a game. I'm not feeling confident here. But you know what? Stranger things have happened. So let's get extra time in all these games. Let's get as many corners as possible. That's what we're rooting for. from a goals perspective, we're, even though there's been some 0-0 draws, these beatdowns have really gotten us back on course. When the tournament started, we need 2.5 goals a game. We have 148 goals scored so far. The lucky number is 164. So we need 16 goals with 8 to go. So we need 2 goals a game. So let's just say I feel better about that. And then
yeah,
we also took the under on 0-0 draws at 4.5. That got blown up by like the third day, unfortunately.
Yeah, seriously.
That's not even close. However, we also took the under on 14.5 total draws for the tournament. There's been 9 so far. So we have 8 games to go, 5 I lose. So I need basically just half of them not to end in ties. Is what, yeah. Again, puncher's chance. So we're okay there at the moment.
Oh, I think that's pretty good, to be honest.
Yeah, I think that's the one you're sitting the prettiest on.
I feel that way too, but I didn't want to say it out loud. So,
Sorry.
Nah, it's all right. And then we still are in play for Komen Ball, the winner. I know I said it wrong again. But we're still in play.
It was better. It was significantly
better. We're
still better,
in play yeah. there. Unfortunately, they're on the same side of the bracket, which isn't great. And then we have my Argentina and Portugal final, and Argentina as my favorite. So that's kind of the outstanding futures that we're looking. Oh, also, Costa Rica is sitting as the leader. I took them to give up the most amount of goals at plus 650. even with these beatdowns. It's getting a little close with some of these teams, but we're looking good. They let up, I think, was it 12 goals all tournament? So yeah. Japan could just scored one. It would have really made me feel better, but that's okay. So things to watch out on. No more beatdowns. All right. What we have going into here in terms of ones that I actually think can happen is England-France, both teams to score, minus 125. That's one that I feel good about. And then I'm going to take Argentina plus 125 to win. I may potentially take under 1.5 in that game, to be honest. I think both teams have been defensively sound there. The under 2.5, the money's not there. And then just because screw England, we're taking France plus 145. We're taking the plus money with them. And then here's ones that I just want to throw out there so people are aware of. Brazil minus 1.5 against Croatia. If you truly think they're going to win by two or more, is plus 110. I'd throw something there. And then if you think, which part of me is starting to think, that that Portugal-Morocco game is probably going into extra time, the draw is plus 275. But I've been getting into method of victory bets. I haven't hit one yet, so like I'm really trying at this point. But Portugal to win in extra time is plus 1,200, and Portugal to win on penalties is plus 950. And that's, depending how the earlier on Friday bets go, I might throw some shekels there.
There you go. All right. All in all, are we still up money? You have the pod account.
Yes, we're up. I have to look into it, but ultimately, like, from a lot of the futures, I
have to run the numbers.
I don't know the exact where we're at, but like, for example, today we went 3-0 on bets. So like, we've had a lot of days like that. We've had a few. Let's put it this way: we haven't had a day where we haven't lost. I also don't know what to do with myself tomorrow because it might be the first day in 2.5 weeks that I haven't bet a soccer game. So like, if there's a championship game randomly on tomorrow, we might see what's happening there. Who knows?
Do you feel like this is a mid-season training camp for you on your bets for the Premier League?
It's helping. I'm not to get too personal, but there's people not saying no to the wedding, so like it's making the wedding more affordable at the moment, which is nice. So if we have a real strong end to the tournament, who knows? We might have some party favors at the end.
I love that I'm going to show up to Dylan's wedding and he's going to point to the flowers and he's going to say, you like those? That's Argentina, Portugal making it to the final.
Damn.
Right there. That's how we get.
No. That's when there's pork roll, egg, and cheese waiting for you after. That's what Argentina and Portugal is.
Love that. Nick?
Dylan, you got Stockport County and Charlton in the FA Cup tomorrow. Ooh. And ton of friendlies tomorrow if you want to get into some friendly action. And there's some women's Super League, women's English FA Cup or League Cup group play. We got Man United versus Everton if you're into, or City Liverpool women tomorrow, 2 p.m.
I'm pretty sure. Ooh. Liverpool's got a pretty good squad.
Yeah.
I think I read probably that somewhere.
The women?
Yeah.
They're like third to last in the league, I'm pretty sure.
Yikes.
Good odds.
Not good.
Yeah, they were just relegated last year. They were out of the league.
Oh, well, now they're back.
You know what is good? You know what is good? Dylan, getting us out of here on a joke because we're at an hour and 20 minutes.
That's a sweet spot. So.
True.
Do you guys know what Ronaldo was saying after seeing he was on the bench versus Switzerland? I'm going to tell Piers Morgan. Cheers.
You've had better.
The NAFTA Podcast.
Sometimes it may be good, sometimes it may be shit.